WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
In hour number two of the program here on Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And a reminder that this weekend on Mother's Day, D's has a special sweet treat for all the moms while supplies last. So stop by and get a couple of the dogs with mom, and she's going to get a little surprise from D's Hot Dogs on Tark Hill and Hill Road in New Bedford. All right, I did it without screwing it up. I didn't mess up the name of the street. So the Fun Friday question today, brought to you by Emily in New Jersey, who is a great mom in her own right. She wants to know, who is your favorite fictional TV mom? Movies, music, books, TV. Who is your favorite fictional mom? We've gotten a few votes already, a few mentions already on the WBSM Facebook page. We have Jeff says Stifler's mom. Fair enough. And Walter says Linda from Bob's Burgers. I think Linda is another one of those characters where, you know, that show wouldn't be the same without her. She's probably the, I don't know. I think all the characters on that show are funny in their own right. But I think she's the only one that really makes me laugh out loud. So that's the question today, the Fun Friday question. You can call in with your answer, 508-996-0500. You can send in an app chat message or an open line voicemail. You can comment on the video on Facebook or on Instagram. And I will try to keep an eye out on all those different places throughout the course of the morning. But Fun Friday is designed so that we, you know, we have something that we can talk about that isn't all the news of the day. But that doesn't mean we won't talk about the news of the day. So if you want to call in, if you have thoughts on the new Pope and you want to call in and share that, as you heard Brian Fraga with us yesterday say, you know, he didn't think they would go in the direction of Prevost, that they would go with an American. But he said that the perception is that he was the least American because of his dual citizenship in Peru, but also because, you know, he had spent so many years abroad anyway, that he was seen as more of an international figure than an American. And I guess, you know, technically, he's the second American pope. He's the first from the United States. But Francis, you know, would count as the first American, technically. But I think, you know, when people are saying that, they're referring to the first from the United States. So a milestone when, you know, Brian wasn't sure we would see a milestone pope. He wasn't sure we would see somebody that would be a first. But here we go. And it just goes to show you can never accurately predict. That's why I didn't gamble on the pope, although I don't know anything about it anyway, so I wouldn't. And also you can't in Massachusetts. But the interesting thing about that is, you know, people were immediately trying to make it political. And I was saying earlier, I saw a lot of commentary online and on television last night saying, like, American politics is such a small part of, like, the entire Catholic worldview that, you know, that's just kind of American ego thinking that whether you think that this was a statement that, you know, we're supporting America by picking an American pope, or whether you think it was that they're saying, This is a rebuking of the current administration because of the criticisms that Pope Leo had of the Trump administration. No matter which side you're looking at it from, you know, the experts are all saying, like, tone that down. That probably didn't have much to do with it at all. So just, you know, keep that in mind as you're going through it. And really quickly here, because I got an app chat message. We were talking about the other story about that, yeah, New Bedford Light has, newbedfordlight.org. If you remember, you know, about a month ago, there was the immigrant that was taken from his car by ICE, Juan Francisco Mendez. He was taken by ICE after they busted the window of his car, and he's been held for a month in New Hampshire. And a judge ordered his release yesterday because the Department of Homeland Security never filed any charges against him. He's been held for a month with no charges filed. And, you know, have you ever watched a TV crime drama when they say, hey, are you going to charge me or let me go? You're either going to charge me or let me go. Like, that's how it works. You're not supposed to be detained if there aren't any charges against you. And so that's what the judge ordered. And the fact that they didn't file any charges leads to the natural assumption that they didn't have anything on him. That they did, in fact, have the wrong person. That he was right to wait for his lawyer because he had no reason to be detained by ICE. And I had mentioned that this is probably going to lead to a lawsuit. And I didn't say every immigrant that is taken up should sue the government, but I said they could sue the government. But DL says, great idea. The lawsuit against the federal government for wrongly accusing a man of being an illegal. So since you are now the champion for the wrongly accused, don't stop there. File lawsuits against federal government for all the wrongdoings in the last 8 years. Suspect you would be pretty quiet on that approach. You know, when multiple people comment on the, I bet you'll be pretty quiet on that, I'm just going to think you're the same person sending messages over and over again under different accounts. And then it says, interesting topic for Fun Friday. Must still be Thursday. See you next Friday. Okay. First of all, as I've said, we're going to talk about other things on Fridays too. The news of the day is always on the table. Okay. I know that it's hard for you, some of you, to be able to think in two directions at once, but you're going to have to sometimes when you're listening to the show. And secondly, you don't think that a person who is jailed for 4 weeks when there's no reason to have them in jail shouldn't have a gripe and shouldn't be able to potentially file a lawsuit? How would you like that if they picked you up and held you in jail for 4 weeks for no reason? And then they said, okay, we got to let you go. We didn't have anything on you. We must have the wrong person. Would you just be like, okay, thanks. I totally understand it happens. No, you'd be upset because that's a violation of your civil rights. The civil rights that you have the minute you step on these on the soil, whether you are a citizen or not. I know that all the people who love and, you know, praise the Constitution have never actually read it, but if you did, and if you read the Bill of Rights, and if you read the amendments that came after, that protects anybody that comes into America, citizen or not. And it's that way on purpose. We want people that come here to be protected under our laws. You don't want them to become targets for illegal activity. And it's illegal to lock someone up and detain them without charges. And if you don't like the fact that the Constitution applies to non-citizens, oh well. I guess you're just going to have to try to get a constitutional amendment to reverse that, and good luck getting the states to ratify it. So I don't make the rules. I just would expect that the government would play by them. And I don't care. You can, you know, well, what about this? What about that? As I said earlier, whataboutism is the lowest form of argument. Because what you're doing is you're making an excuse for something that was wrong by trying to point to something else that's wrong, and that doesn't excuse it. What did your mom tell you growing up as we approach Mother's Day here? Two wrongs don't make a right, right? I said, wait. Two wrongs don't make a right, correct? So that's why it's the weakest form of argument. 508-996-0500. And the fun Friday question, who is your favorite fictional mom? Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. First of all, I like that movie, Yours, Mine, and Ours, because back in the day, a lot of people had blended families. You know, people remarried again for whatever reason, so there were other people's kids involved. And I grew up kind of in that situation myself. But my favorite, I have two favorite moms, actually. I did think of what you said about The Simpsons. I love Marge Simpson. I love her very much. But I like Malcolm in the Middle, Frankie.
Oh, yeah.
Who I believe was played by Patricia Heaton. I thought that was,
no,
it.
That, was Jane Kaczmarek. That was Jane Kaczmarek.
Oh, okay.
Patricia Heaton was on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes, but she also played and had her own sitcom.
That was the middle.
The middle. Okay.
Yeah, that was the middle.
The middle. I knew.
Right. All these shows with middle in the name, it gets confusing. I get it totally.
Exactly, and I also like. She was a kind of a dysfunctional mom, but I loved Kitty in that '70s show. She was a riot, absolutely a riot. She was another one of my favorite moms. So those are like my two favorite moms.
I think that
I liked a lot.
There's definitely been a movement in recent years to make the moms, you know, kind of the, instead of being the straight man for the dad's comedy, to give the moms more of the comedic chops. And I think if I had to kind of point my finger on it, you know, there was a lot of moms that kind of laid the groundwork for that. But I think Roseanne played a big part in that, where, you know, she was the smart ass one in that household, and everybody else kind of just played off of her jokes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That was another one. I really liked her show as well. I like her as a person anyway. I've always liked her. But in the movies that she's played in, oh, Scream, like She-Devil, oh my God, the things that she played. She's great anyway. But, yeah, those were the two moms that I really super like. And also Marge Simpson. I thought she was great, like you said. She just was a voice of reason in that family and held that whole family together. I agree 100%.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Have a great day now.
Have a good weekend, too.
Okay, bye.
And I will say, too, you know, if you go back even further, like you can look at, you know, Maude as being kind of the first break out of the mold female character. She was a mom, although her child was older, but break out of that, you know, I'm just here to play into the jokes of everybody else. You know, every once in a while, Edith Bunker got off a good zinger, but she was really there to kind of fuel the comedy for other characters. And another character that was a mom of an older child, but certainly one of the most beloved TV moms ever, would be Sophia from The Golden Girls. And I forget about how witty the writing was on that show sometimes, because, you know, you kind of lump it into all those 80s sitcoms where a lot of the times, you know, the shows were just so hugely popular that they could coast through some of the stories. You know, not every episode was a sharply written thing, but you go back and you watch those Golden Girls episodes and they hold up. Of course, I haven't watched it in a long time. I caught a couple of episodes when I was in the hospital when I thought I was having a heart attack because I'm in the waiting room, and that was what was on at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I watched, I think, three episodes while I was waiting to be seen, and I was like, well, why don't I watch this more often? Like, just turn your brain off and kind of relax. But that's what we're talking about today. Your favorite fictional mom. That's today's Fun Friday topic, brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And don't forget, it's a great place to stop by for lunch and get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for $5. As it's getting harder and harder to be able to afford a quick lunch, someone said to me the other day, they're like, what do you spend on lunch if you go out to get lunch? And I said, you know, it's weird. I try to not spend money on lunch if I can help it, because no matter what you get, you end up spending $20. Like, you'd be like, I'm going to go to this place because they've got, like, you know, $8 sandwiches, and that somehow you still end up spending $20. So it's good to find a place where you can get lunch for almost the whole week for $20. Although, I would say you don't just have to go there for lunch either. Makes a great dinner. Makes a great snack. Driving by D's, stop by and have a hot dog. Coney and cheese, that's what I recommend. Although, D was telling me last week that because of all of the talk about it, the most requested topping now over there has become celery salt. Everybody is asking for celery salt. So you did it. You started a movement. The celery salt movement. And so now people are trying it. They've never tried it before, and you've won them over. So see, we can affect positive change here on the radio. Of course, important matters too, but also about celery salt on hot dogs. I'm going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. And we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. But before I do that, if you're thinking about something you want to get your mom for Mother's Day, how about giving her the gift of not having to do laundry again? Sign her up for Dash Laundromat. Because what that you can do is you can make it so that she never has to do laundry again. You can sign her up for a subscription service, and they'll come and pick up the laundry, bring it to Dash, they'll wash it, they'll dry it, they'll fold it, they'll bring it back and deliver it to her. She never has to worry about doing laundry again. Or maybe you just want to get one day's worth of laundry done for her. You say, you know what, Mom, I'm going to do the laundry today because it's Mother's Day. You don't have to worry about it. But then what you're really going to do is you're going to bring it to Dash and use their Wash Dry Go program. You drop off your laundry and you get a free estimate. It's 70 cents a pound. They'll tell you how much it's going to cost, how much your laundry weighs. They include premium detergent, Gain with Oxy. That's what they use on my clothes. It's absolutely free included with it. No sitting, no waiting, no hassle. They'll wash, dry, and bag up your clothes unfolded the same day. So you're still going to have to fold them, but you're only paying 70 cents a pound. And you can pick it up at your convenience even after hours. If you can't get there by the time they close, they'll put it in the locker outside for you. It's that easy to get things done with Dash. So why not sign your mom up for it or utilize it for yourself? Go to dashlaundromat.com to find out more. Make sure you follow them on social media as well to see some of the exciting updates about their new location opening soon and the South End of New Bedford. So soon you will have two locations, the South End of New Bedford across from Kilburn Mill, as well as the flagship location at One State Road in Dartmouth. Dashlaundromat.com. All right, it's time now to go into the news and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
President Trump not happy with interest rates not being lowered. Changes at Netflix and Max. And neighbors upset with Elon Musk.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump says Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is, quote, a fool who doesn't have a clue. After the central bank held rates steady, President Trump says he should have cut rates.
Well, the Bank of England cut, China cut, everybody's cutting but him.
The president has repeatedly called for lower interest rates as his administration navigates economic uncertainty following its sweeping tariff rollout. The Fed left rates at a range of 4.25% to 4.5% on Wednesday, marking the third hold in a row. New York Mayor Eric Adams' administration is highlighting an amendment in the state budget agreement that gives the city more tools to help the mentally ill and get them off the streets.
And although it is rare, random attacks are still committed by people who desperately need help. We cannot continue to ignore them, and we are not.
Adams says an amendment now clarifies that the inability to meet basic needs is defined as a form of danger to oneself. That means New York City homeless outreach teams will be able to remove more people off the streets and get them help. Elon Musk being accused of being a bad neighbor. Residents of a ritzy Austin suburb of West Lake Hills complaining about a 16-foot chain-link fence that surrounds his $6 million property.
Granting these variances would do nothing but to facilitate their bad behavior on our quiet little cul-de-sac.
Paul Hemmer, who leads the Neighborhood Homeowners Association, says Musk is not even living at the home. He's calling it a hub for a security team that fills up a dead-end street with a fleet of cars. There are also reports that Musk has been trying to buy two neighboring lots to serve as a compound for him, his 13 kids, and their mothers. Netflix rolling out a redesign for its homepage on TV screens, the first big makeover since 2013.
Netflix CEO Greg Peters sat down to discuss some of the changes on NBC's Today Show.
Really, at the end of the day, we're looking at, you know, what is the viewing behavior? Because that's the thing that matters the most. Are we satisfying viewers and are they watching?
Starting next week, the homepage will feature fewer titles but more video. Company officials say the goal is a sleeker design that will get more people to press play and stay. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And Warner Brothers Discovery says that they'll get more assertive about cracking down on password sharing later this year. The media company that has Max says it will take up to a year and a half to fully roll out the service password sharing initiative. The CEO and president of Global Streaming said they'll start with soft messaging reminders to subscribers before getting firmer and more visible. Max has just over 122 streaming subscriptions worldwide. Federal student loan borrowers who do not make timely payments could face credit score damage and wage garnishment, with them moving back into collections.
The Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid is resuming collections on defaulted federal student loans. Attorney Ben Matthews says student loan debt is confusing for most people now more than ever because
there's been a lot of change in the past couple of years. So it's from COVID all the way up through the end of the Biden administration, now the Trump administration, they have not left it alone at all.
Matthews says that he's seen clients with $200,000 in student loan debt qualify for bankruptcy by showing
because you can't afford it now. It's unlikely that you'll be able to afford it in the future, and you've made some good faith efforts to make payments.
I'm Katie Gray.
Toyota is projecting a decline in profit for the current financial year. The top-selling automaker released a report yesterday forecasting a 21% profit decline due to widespread fallout from sweeping tariffs implemented by President Trump. This comes a year after record profits totaling $32.4 billion for the manufacturer. According to Toyota, the company must also navigate the negative impact from a stronger yen. The new Pope's two older brothers are thrilled that Robert Prevost of Chicago is now the Holy Father.
It's totally unreal, totally surreal, and it's a tremendous, tremendous thing to take in, but it's something to be very proud of.
That's John Prevost, the middle brother of the newly elected Pope Leo XIV. John says he's recently asked his brother if he'd watched the movie Conclave so he'd know how to behave. And John says with a chuckle that Robert had indeed just finished watching the movie. Pope Leo's eldest brother, Louis, says that he hopes things don't turn political because he's from America.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox blanked the Rangers yesterday afternoon at Fenway 5-0. Sox are in Kansas City tonight at 7:40, and the Celtics will try to pick up a win against the Knicks in New York tomorrow in Game 3 at 3:30.
Now, your ABC6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Clouds and showers today, 61, still wet tonight, 53, starting out the weekend with lighter rain tomorrow. Showers will end by tomorrow afternoon. It'll stay cloudy, 65. Mother's Day on Sunday looks perfect, sunshine, 70. More sun for Monday, 67. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Thank you.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. It is the Fun Friday before Mother's Day. So, and of course, Fun Friday brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And they are having a sweet treat for mom on Mother's Day while supplies last. So bring your mom down for some dogs and she gets a sweet treat as part of her visit. But the Fun Friday question is suggested by Emily in New Jersey. Who is your favorite fictional mom? And we're getting some votes for, I actually got a vote for Peggy Bundy. As I was trying to use her as the example of somebody that people wouldn't pick as, you know, who they want for their mom. But someone suggested that because of, you know, the comedy element that she brought to the show. And I think that that's what a lot of mom characters can do. They can drive the narrative. They can be the straight man for the comedy, or they can be the funny ones. They can also be the emotional heart of the show. That sometimes, you know, things get a little bit too wacky and they can be the ones that kind of bring it back and serve as the conscience for the show, which, you know, Marge Simpson does that probably better than any TV character has. But there are a number of moms out there in the fictional worlds that if you want to shout them out, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. And you can also comment on our Facebook page as well. When it comes to the worst fictional moms, you know, I think some of them, unfortunately, are probably based in some reality. That you get these horrific mother characters because it has to do with the trauma of the person writing it. And it was maybe their own relationship with their mother. And by the same token, maybe some of these idealized fictional moms are kind of born out of, I wish I had a mother like this, by the creators. But there were a lot of, you know, if you had asked me growing up, who would you want your, if you could pick a TV mom to be your mom, who would you pick? Well, I would have picked Samantha Stevens all day. Because wouldn't it be cool to have a mom that was a witch that could just do anything like that? Although the downside of it is, you know, if you got into an argument with her, she could, like, turn you into a frog or something. But growing up in the 80s, you know, as I mentioned before, every kid thought Claire Huxtable was, like, the best TV mom. But you also still had people who were all about Carol Brady. And what's funny is if you look at Carol Brady, you're like, well, what was inspirational about her? It was the way she handled her family because did she have a job? I don't think she had a career because people make the joke all the time. Like, how does a stay-at-home housewife and mom need a maid? Like, she's just like, what happens? What's the dynamic there? She's just sitting on the couch while Alice vacuums. And that's why I don't have a cleaning person. I could never do that. I would feel terrible if I was doing that, but whatever, you know. So I don't know. Whoever your favorite fictional mom is, you probably have a reason for it one way or another. And I'd love to hear it. 508-996-0500. Going back to the whataboutism question, Dam in New Bedford, which is D-A-M-N, says, just curious, you say two wrongs don't make a right, and the whataboutism argument is the lowest form of argument. Why is it every time someone brings up something to do with the Democrats, you immediately go to what Trump did? What's fair is fair, just saying. Well, there's a difference between making a salient point that's comparable and using whataboutism. Whataboutism is trying to dismiss the fact that someone was held for 4 weeks in prison without any charges brought against them with, well, if the previous administration didn't let other immigrants in, all these immigrants in, we wouldn't be in this position. Like, that doesn't excuse what happened. That doesn't make it okay. That's where whataboutism fails as an argument. That's not a comparable situation. if the claim was, you know, Donald Trump is letting in way too many migrants for a guy who said he was going to, you know, stop that problem. And again, I'm not saying that. I'm just using this as an example. But if he was saying that, you know, I'm going to stop this problem, then he was letting way too many in. And then someone called up and said, well, what about how many Biden let through? That's not really whataboutism. That's an actual comparison of a relevant point. The same way if I said, you know, Donald Trump signed 200 executive orders in his first 100 days or whatever the number is, and then you called up and said, well, but Joe Biden signed 300 during his first 100 days. That's not whataboutism. That's a comparison. Whataboutism is you using something that doesn't relate to try, and it's not that you're trying to excuse even what's being argued. You're just trying to deflect from what's being argued. That's the difference. It's the deflection. And if the Biden administration was holding people in jail for 4 weeks with no charges, I would have said the same thing about them. That's illegal. That's unconstitutional. That is reprehensible. And that argument doesn't change the fact that this person was detained and no charges were brought against them. Because the only logical assumption you can make here is ICE screwed up. They had the wrong person, as had been said all along. So are they going to come out and say, we're sorry, we got the wrong person, we're going to do a little bit better job and be more thorough? Or are they just going to release him and say, have a nice life? And that's why you should be worried. The idea that the federal government can just come and take someone off the street and then worry about what they're going to charge them with later, that should terrify you. That is not a free country. That is not the way that you want to live. And I don't know how anybody can defend that and say, well, they're just doing their job. No, they screwed up. And it's okay when they screw up to say they screwed up. And it's okay to say when they screw up that maybe this policy that they have is not the most effective way of doing things. That maybe it's the incorrect way of doing things. It's okay to be critical. You don't have to just eat everything you're spoon-fed because you're in the cult. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. How about June Cleaver?
That's a great one.
Yeah, I always liked her. She seemed so calm and happy all the time.
And not only that, though, but she wasn't just a side character either. Like, she was also kind of that voice of consciousness for the kids. I mean, obviously, Leave It to Beaver, those kids didn't get too out of control. But, you know, she was the one that kind of, for any of their antics, kind of talked them down a little bit. Now, when you were growing up, was your mom similar to June Cleaver?
No.
Did you try to be a June Cleaver yourself?
No.
I was going to say, I don't think I could have the wardrobe to be a June Cleaver. I don't know that I could walk around the house all day in high heels. I'd probably have slippers on.
High heels. Yeah.
All right.
Well, so pretty, though.
I hope if you are a mom, I hope you have a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
And if you want to call in with your favorite fictional mom, I'd love to hear it, 508-996-0500. I think what made June Cleaver so appealing to a lot of people was exactly what the caller said, her calm demeanor. You know, and again, like I said, those kids weren't too rambunctious, but, you know, what I really liked about her screen time is that when, you know, Eddie Haskell came in and he tried to pull his stuff, she saw right through it. You know, she didn't fall for the flattery. She knew what he was doing, but she let him do it rather than calling him out on it. I mean, she would if she had to, but for the most part, she just let him do it. And she was like, yeah, all right, this is just, yeah.
And I thought that that was always an interesting dynamic. Even as a kid, I was like, oh, this guy's a slime. But she lets him be a slime because she's like, well, he doesn't mean any harm by it. And then, of course, you know, there's episodes where it turns out he's got a heart of gold. So I was for some reason, I went down a rabbit hole recently and I was looking up things about Jerry Mathers. And he's still around. He still goes out and does autograph signings and everything. But I don't know if he's coming to this area anytime soon. But if he does for any of these conventions, I'd like a chance to go and meet him because he was, you know, a big part of my childhood. I think, you know what it was, is when Jay North passed away, Dennis the Menace, that I started looking into seeing like who else is still around. Because I'm Facebook friends with John Provost, who played Timmy on Lassie, and Bill Mumy, who was on Lost in Space. So like I see updates from them all the time. And I was like, well, who else is around and still doing things? So anyway, 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. I think, did The Matrix produce that? That's back when they were all over every pop song. We're asking today, the Fun Friday question is, who is your favorite fictional mom? Stacey's mom's probably pretty up there for a lot of people. Tia says Marge Simpson is her favorite fictional mom. We got a couple of app chat messages as well. DSY says the mom from the Brady Bunch, Carol Brady. And Not Bad in Oak Bluff says Vivian Banks from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah, but which Vivian Banks did you prefer? I like the first one. But, you know, they were both good. They were both very successful women, great mothers, and didn't take any crap from those kids. They're on to you, Will, and your hijinks and your antics. If you've seen the Bel Air dramatic retelling of, it's called Bel Air, it's a dramatic retelling of The Fresh Prince. The parents on that, or the aunt and uncle for Will's character, are very interesting because, like, They've got a lot of they've got an interesting relationship into themselves because they are both such successful people that they explore some of those conflicts that it caused. It's a pretty good show. I've only seen little bits and pieces of it, but I liked what I saw. You know what mom really wants for Mother's Day? Not to have to cook anything, whether it be today, tomorrow, or on Sunday. And Brack's Grill and Tap can make that possible because you can take her out for lunch today. Their lunch value menu starts at just $12.99. with things like a half pizza and salad combo, the saucy bird chicken sandwich, their pasta of the day, and so many things. But you can also bring her out for dinner as well, whether it be at the Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton or Brockton, or at the Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. So don't let mom cook on Mother's Day. Jeez, it's the worst thing you can do. Take her out for a nice, delicious meal from Brack's. And, you know, maybe let her have a drink or two. You drive. Let mom hang back and, you know, she can ride in the back and you can be her Uber driver. Let her have a nice time out and let her not have to be the one to do all the work for once. Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton and Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. Check them out online at bracksgrillandtap.com. Got to take my final break of this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, another hour down. We have 1 hour to go. And we'll take your calls, 508-996-0500, your app chat messages, your open line voicemails. We'll take your comments on our Facebook and Instagram pages on the video.